Hello, you are listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio, and Local Motion, our weekly local affairs show. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. In this installment of Local Motion, we'll talk to members of the North Fork Ambulance Association. We'll hear a little bit about its history, its membership, and the services it provides. We'll also talk about the Powerful Stories program, which collects stories from citizens about the North Fork Ambulance that offer testimonials about its importance and its lasting impact upon those who need its services. To begin, there are two separate ambulance providers in Delta County. The Delta County Ambulance District serves the western part of the county and is funded mainly through tax revenue. The North Fork Ambulance Association, which we will be talking about here on Local Motion, provides services to the eastern half of the county, including the North Fork Valley. It is volunteer-driven and survives mainly on membership dues. KVNF News spoke with Kathy Steckel and Katie Headley, who stopped by the KVNF studio recently. First, we'll hear from Kathy Steckel, Executive Director for the North Fork Ambulance Association. She started out talking about her own history as a volunteer with the North Fork Ambulance.
Okay, I've been a volunteer EMT for 21 years with North Fork Ambulance. I served on the board starting in 2004 and then gradually took a part-time position with them for director, and now I'm a full-time executive director for the association. I'm also one of the advanced care providers with the advanced training to provide a higher level of care to our people than we've been doing before.
How long has the North Fork Ambulance been around here in the Valley, and what kind of services do they provide?
North Fork Ambulance formed in 1969. As many of the rural ambulance services across America formed in the late 60s there, when the need became apparent that they could get people to the hospital and have a better outcome than just leaving it up to, a lot of times it was left up to tow truck drivers, or even the coroner would either take you to the hospital or to the mortuary depending on your condition. So they formed in 1969 with a volunteer board and a volunteer service. And we've pretty much operated that way for the last 48 years. We are staffed by 50 volunteers. They're drivers who are CPR certified, and then EMTs, which we have different levels of EMTs. We have our basic life support EMTs, and then our advanced life support people who are EMT intermediates and paramedics. It's membership is about a third of our income right now. It's a volunteer payment that is made by any resident or business in the Valley. The benefit of being a member is that if you're transported, you would receive no copay or out-of-pocket expense if your deductible's been met. If you don't have your deductible met or you are uninsured, we give a 60% discount off of the bill to make that more affordable for people. Other than our membership, we survive on donations and also fees for service. We bill people's insurance if they have that, and then if they don't have insurance and are not a member, they'd be responsible for 100% of the bill.
Is it a hard time finding volunteers?
You know, our volunteers come to us from all walks of life and all ages. They stay with us for different varying amounts of time. It's always something that we're looking for, to recruit new members, people like Katie who come to us and they take that EMR class, which is a first responder class. It takes about 8 weeks to go through that, a couple evenings a week. And then, you know, she's thinking she wants to move on and go to the EMT class, which will be more of a 4 or 5 month commitment, and she'll receive a certification from the state of Colorado for a basic life support EMT. We're always looking for people to join us who feel like it may be a good fit for them to take care of their neighbor, be there in the time of need. People mostly volunteer with us because they have a passion to help their community. It's a great way to do that. It's not a fit for everyone, but we're pretty good at helping people figure that out and see if they're a good fit for us.
Do you feel like that's something that might be a deterrent, just someone who wants to volunteer and help out, but, oh, they have to take a lot of classes, they have to learn a lot of skills, and that kind of makes it harder than something that you can just, oh, volunteer for and just come in off the street and automatically start working.
Right. It is a commitment. But I think the training that you receive is something that you would carry with you your whole life. My personal story of why I became an EMT is I had a young son. He was 8 months old. And he got ill. We thought he had a cold, something like that. It didn't improve over the weekend. So Monday morning, I called for an appointment with the doctor, and they could get me in at 4 o'clock. So we waited around all day. My son continued to deteriorate. At the time, I had no medical training at all. I was a new mother. Didn't really realize the severity of his breathing situation. And it came apparent in the afternoon about 2 o'clock. I said, we're not going to wait any longer. We're going to take our kid to the doctor. And sure enough, we showed up at the local clinic and they took one look at our son and immediately needed to take steps to clear his airway and to get the swelling down. They called North Fork Ambulance and we were transported to Delta Hospital, where they felt like he needed to go to St. Mary's. They called the helicopter to fly us there. It was storming out. It was January, so the care flight couldn't fly. And we went by ground ambulance to St. Mary's. It all turned out okay for us. They were concerned he had a fairly rare virus called epiglottitis that can be life-threatening and closes down an airway. He didn't turn out to have that, but we did spend 24 hours in intensive care and then 2 or 3 days in the pediatric ward. So I realized that I was never going to let that happen again. I wanted the education to take care of my own family, and that's what spurred me on to become an EMT.
And that was Kathy Steckel, Executive Director of the North Fork Ambulance Association. You are listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio, and Local Motion, our weekly local affairs show. Next, we'll hear our interview with Katie Headley, Events and Media Coordinator for the North Fork Ambulance. She has been with the association since March, and she will be studying to be an EMT this winter. Over the past few months, Headley has been collecting stories from citizens who have needed the services of the North Fork Ambulance. She edits the stories and adds photos and publishes them in the Daily Shopper and on social media. Headley started out by talking about the Powerful Stories program.
You've heard a little bit about our history and how we came to be and how we're funded. And the purpose of Powerful Stories is to bring a face to that importance and to share some of these life-changing and life-saving stories in a way that folks may be able to relate with. So the Gonzalez family, they shared their story with us. They're the owners of Backcountry Goods in Hotchkiss. And they have a small homestead out in Hotchkiss where they raise their 3 children. And one day, they were finishing up their daily chores and feeding the animals when their 2-year-old daughter, Rose, they noticed she just kind of slumped over. And they thought maybe she had fallen asleep. So the family went over and roused her and kind of tried to wake her up. And they realized she wasn't breathing and she was unresponsive and she was starting to turn blue. So once they noticed the severity of her condition, they contacted North Fork Ambulance, and it was made known that she was having a first-time seizure. North Fork Ambulance, the EMTs opened up her airway, got her the life-saving medication she needed, and transported her to Delta County Memorial Hospital. The Gonzalez family has expressed their gratitude for the quick response vehicles you see driving around. Kathy is one of the drivers of those vehicles. She provides the advanced life support, that high level of care. That's very comforting to know we have in our valley. If you see those vehicles in the parking lot at the grocery store or the post office, you can be assured that the person driving it can perform some high level life saving techniques and carries life-saving medications for children like Rose.
Okay, and we've heard one story about the Gonzalez family in Hotchkiss. Katie, why don't you tell us another story from the Powerful Stories series?
All right, Jim and Rita Lang, the owners of High Country Printing and Graphics in Paonia, they shared their story with me. And Jim was in the shower one evening getting ready to go out to dinner and suddenly dropped the washcloth. And he reached down to pick it up and realized he wasn't able to pick it up. So he reached for the door to get out of the shower, and he fell, and he kind of made his way into the kitchen a little confused, and his wife Rita came in and saw him sopping wet and wondering what was going on, and she realized that he was probably having a stroke. She immediately called North Fork Ambulance. They came and transported him to the hospital, and like Rose, got him the life-saving medications he needed, and he would have had a full-blown stroke had North Fork Ambulance not shown up so quickly. And that was one of his quotes that he said a couple of times. Jim and Rita Lang are also business members with the North Fork Ambulance, and they are strong proponents of that membership. They had somebody in their office one day who didn't seem quite right and started to have a medical event. They said, we're going to call 911, and that person wasn't sure if that was the best idea. He wasn't a member and was worried that he wouldn't be able to afford the bill. But Jim and Rita assured him that, you know, they were members and the benefits of that membership would apply to him, and the best thing to do was to call. And so that person was able to have, you know, a certain medical event mitigated because they were business members. A little bit about the business membership is it covers all employees and customers on the premises of the business during regular business hours. So if something happens, say in your restaurant or in a place like the printing office, which is a fairly relaxed, safe environment, but you never know what could happen. Those folks are covered by the membership benefits. And one other thing that Jim and Rita expressed very passionately was the bond that they formed with their EMT. They see the EMT that came that day, and Jim said every time, no matter where they are or, you know, how long it's been, I think it's been about 8 or so years, they go up and give a big hug and smile and handshake. And that's something kind of special in our rural community, is we are volunteers, and we may be artists and pilots and whatever other job we have, and then at the same time we're volunteer EMTs, and we'll show up to whatever call happens. And it's kind of special, the bonds that they formed with the patients.
And we've heard some really good stories. Let's hear another one from the Powerful Stories series. What was another story that stood out in your mind?
This one comes from Jan Simmons. She's a resident of Paonia. And she was in her home painting the ceiling of her living room, and she suddenly fell off the ladder. Her husband came in and found her on the floor, and she was a little disoriented, going in and out of consciousness, and he called 911. They immediately transported her to the hospital, and she, it turns out, had injured 3 significant vertebrae in her neck. And the doctors in the hospital said, had she not been transported so quickly and carefully by the EMTs, then she likely would have been paralyzed from the waist down. And so one thing one of the quotes that she shared with me was that she credits the North Fork Ambulance with saving her from a life of disability. It was very touching interviewing Jan Simmons. She spoke very passionately during her interview, and that's been a unique thing about this project is, you know, these folks are sitting down and reflecting on a potentially very challenging time for them. And they take that challenging day and are turning it into a positive message of why this vital service is really important to a community. And we're very grateful for these folks taking time to sit down and reflect on a time that was scary for them and sharing that with everyone in a way that helps bring the message of why our ambulance is important.
It just seems like these EMTs would have to have a special kind of skill set that involves not only just the EMT and the CPR and the medical stuff, but also kind of you have to be good at being friends and being friendly and try and get into people, be at ease. And I just wonder, Katie, why do you want to be an EMT? It sounds like a real kind of stressful job.
After taking the emergency medical responder course, I wondered the same thing. How will I respond in these types of situations? And then the compassion element, you know, I think about that, and it is a big part of it. And being able to show up on potentially somebody's most frightening day and provide them the care and the calm response that they need to be okay. And I think that's a big motivator for me. And also similarly to what Kathy said, just having the skills and the know-how to care for, you know, myself, my family, and my community if something were to ever happen in a grocery store or somewhere in the public domain where I'm not on call. It's wonderful to know that there's people throughout the community who are able to stop what they're doing and help that person. I think that's what really makes a community complete, is having all the different little roles fulfilled.
Katie, thanks so much for sharing some of those powerful stories. If there's ways for people to get to hear more of the stories, is there a website, or are you doing a program where you might be coming out with some of these stories for the public to hear?
Sure. If anyone has a story that they would be willing to share and have their photos taken, they can send me an email at network@northforkambulance.com, and we can set up an interview and go from there. We are looking towards the video realm for this project. We've now put out quite a few prints and have done the social media and website portion, and now we're getting it out on the airwaves. So our next potential project is putting together a video. And yeah, we're very grateful for the support we've had with this project and bringing the message in this unique way. So if anyone is interested in sharing a story, they can send me an email. Again, network@northforkambulance.com.
That was Katie Headley from the North Fork Ambulance Association. She talked about some of the powerful stories she's collected in the past few months as part of their program to put a face on the North Fork Ambulance and to get the word out about their services. You are listening to KVNF, and this is Local Motion, our weekly local affairs show. In our final segment, we'll hear again from Executive Director Kathy Steckel. She starts out talking about the new emergency response vehicles that make their job and response times much more efficient.
A year ago, we applied for grants through the state of Colorado, the EMS provider grant, and then also had some help from the USDA Rural Community Facilities grant and local donations. We were able to buy three 2016 4Runners and outfit those with lights and sirens, some medical equipment that we carry, and basically one is stationed in each of our three communities. We have 8 advanced life support providers now that share these vehicles. We use an on-call system for our advanced life support people, and that is working really well. We have one advanced life support person on around the clock, 24/7, And they are in these vehicles. They respond now to every call that North Fork Ambulance goes out on. And if that advanced life support care level is needed, they're there to provide that. So it's working out great. The vehicles ended up out of pocket. The association only has a couple $1,000s per vehicle out on these, and they are just paying for themselves through providing that higher level of care.
And just to be clear, the three different communities where each one of these vehicles is at is Hotchkiss, Crawford, and Paonia?
Correct. We have ambulances in all three communities. There are two in Paonia, two in Hotchkiss, and one in Crawford. These are staffed by on-call volunteers 24/7. They respond from their home or their place of work or their business when the call comes in. We all carry pagers, and whoever's on call responds to their station and takes the ambulance and responds to the call. Our on-call system for our ambulances, there's a driver and an EMT on call in each community. So we have two people on call in Paonia, two in Hotchkiss, two in Crawford. And then our advanced life support is served by a seventh person that's on call, and they take that vehicle from wherever they are and respond to the call with the ambulance crew. Sometimes they arrive before the ambulance gets there. They can assess the situation. These advanced life support providers are also the direct communication with Care Flight. If people need, you know, to be flown to Grand Junction, we can arrange that. And
if someone is in need of the ambulance or one of the emergency vehicles and they're not a member, should they call anyway? Or do you think that that's a natural response? Well, I'm not a member, so I'm not going to call.
Oh, no, absolutely. They should call. If they're having a medical emergency, you know, 911 is the number to call. We respond to all 911 calls for emergency medical services in the North Fork Valley. We're the only ambulance service in the valley. So, you know, whether people are members or not, never enters into it for us. We respond, and, you know, not all people are transported. If their medical condition is not, you know, something that's emergent or life-threatening, they have the choice to refuse services, and they receive no bill for that. You know, we can come and assess them and give them options. We're in direct communication with the emergency room doctors at Delta Hospital. And so a decision can be made. Just because you call the ambulance doesn't mean you have to go.
There are other things that we've heard about on the show that illustrate the importance of the ambulance. And Kathy, how would you kind of say to people who are moving into the area for the first time or getting a lot of new people out here, why is it so important to have the ambulance?
Well, I'd say you never know when an accident is going to happen. When you might need that ambulance. I think that anyone who's ever called 911 for any reason knows that when you call 911, you're asking for help and you want it right now. It's an emergent situation and you need help. We serve our communities, Hotchkiss, Crawford, and Paonia, from right within each community. We're able to have people on call and the ambulance right there in that community, and it goes out, keeps our response time the best it can be. I think that people are unaware or just don't think about how large a service area we have. To the south, we reach clear over Black Mesa to Kirikani Creek, well into Montrose County and Gunnison County. And then we go to the top of McClure Pass. We respond all the way to the top there. And then up Stevens Gulch, we touch Mesa County. To the west, we go to Payne Siding, you know, and serve a good part of Redlands. So we have a 1,550 square mile service area. And the way to service that with the best response time possible is to have these on-call crews stationed in each community. You know, it's a lot of times I'll get questions about, are your EMTs paid? We pay an on-call stipend of roughly $3 an hour for our on-call people. Once they respond to a call and take that call and are working in that sense, they receive an hourly pay for the time that they're on the call. And, you know, since we have seven people on call and we operate 24/7, that equates to roughly 30 full-time people that we are paying $3 an hour. If we were to pay an average wage of, you know, $18 an hour, something like that, plus benefits for people to come in and do that job, we would not be able to afford seven of those, maybe two. So that gets us to difficulty with staffing the three stations. If we went to a paid service, we just wouldn't be able to keep all three stations open like we do now. So your response time would increase. A central hub with an ambulance coming out of Hotchkiss possibly to serve the whole valley has been proposed. And it just increases the response time to our outlying areas to something the board is not willing to support. They're doing everything in their power to keep our three stations, keep our volunteers, keep that response time as low as possible so we can help people.
And we've been joined here on Local Motion by Katie Headley and Kathy Steckel of the North Fork Ambulance Association. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
And this has been Local Motion, the local affairs show here on KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. We heard from North Fork Ambulance Association Executive Director Kathy Steckel and Events and Media Coordinator Katie Headley in this installment. They've talked a little bit about the North Fork Ambulance, the services it provides, and its Powerful Stories program. This Local Motion will be archived on KVNF.org. For KVNF News, my name is Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.